Okay. Or feel like some math concepts just kind of appear out of thin air? Like, why Lebesgue integration? Why not just stick with the familiar Riemann way?
Yeah, it's like they just wanted to make calculus even more complex, right?
Exactly. But today's deep dive is going to uncover a more intuitive path to Lebesgue integration. We're looking at this paper by R. Scott McIntyre that tackles this very question.
Yeah, this paper really emphasizes a philosophy of like introducing mathematical concepts, not just for, you know, their theoretical elegance, but because there's an actual need, a drive to solve real problems, tangible problems.
Okay, so starting with what we know, Riemann integration, right?
Yeah.
We divide areas into neat rectangles under a curve, add them up, and get an approximation of the area.
Right. And the smaller the rectangles, the better, the more accurate our approximation gets, closer to the true integral. The problem comes in when we start to think about sequences of functions.
Okay, sequences of functions, so like a whole bunch of them lined up.
Exactly, yeah. Imagine you have a series of functions, right? And they're converging towards a final function. It seems intuitive that you could just swap the limit and the integral, you know, like integrate each function in the sequence and then just take the limit of those results.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable enough, yeah.
But Riemann integration kind of throws a wrench in things. That swap, that simple swap, only works under some very specific conditions, things like uniform convergence. The functions really need to converge in a well-behaved way.
Okay, so it can't handle a little bit of chaos.
Exactly. And McIntyre highlights this issue with a pretty clever example. He uses a sequence of functions, but they converge to a function that's, get this, not Riemann integrable at all. It's this weird function, one on the rational numbers and zero on the irrational.
Whoa, okay, yeah, I could see how that would cause some issues.
Right. And this failure of Riemann integration in these certain situations, this is precisely what necessitates a new approach. This is where Lebesgue enters the picture.
So, what was Lebesgue's breakthrough? What did he see that others missed?
Well, instead of chopping up the domain of the function, like in Riemann integration, Lebesgue focused on the range, the axis values.
So, flipping the script entirely.
Exactly, yeah. He used what are called characteristic functions as these building blocks. You can picture a characteristic function as like a spotlight. It shines only on a specific set, leaving everything else in darkness.
Okay, yeah, I can visualize that. It's like highlighting specific sets and ignoring the rest.
Precisely. And to determine the contribution of each of these lit sets to the integral, Lebesgue introduced this idea of the outer measure. It's like measuring the width of these sets by covering them with intervals and finding the smallest possible total length of those intervals.
It almost sounds like finding the most efficient way to wrap a gift, a really oddly shaped gift. Like you want to use the least amount of wrapping paper possible.
That's a great analogy, actually. But here's where things get really interesting. McIntyre uses another analogy to highlight a potential issue with this outer measure. He asks us to imagine trying to measure the area of a comb, but like a comb with very fine teeth.
Okay, I'm picturing that now.
So if you try to, you know, coat the comb with like a thin layer of something to measure its area, you might miss all those tiny gaps between the teeth, right? You might end up overestimating the actual area.
Yeah, I see the problem. The gaps are too small to be accurately accounted for.
And this is kind of similar to what can happen with the outer measure. When you try to add up the measures of a set and its complement, it doesn't always behave well. It can lead to overestimations, just like with that comb analogy.
So how do we make sure this outer measure is reliable? Do we just like avoid comb-like sets altogether?
Well, we need a way to guarantee that our measurements are accurate, even with those intricate comb-like sets. And that's where Caravaggio's condition comes in. It makes sure we're only dealing with well-behaved sets where the outer measure is reliable.
Okay, so Caravaggio's condition is like a quality control check for our sets.
Exactly. It might seem a bit abstract at first, but it's absolutely crucial to developing a theory of integration that's, you know, consistent and robust. And the motivation for this condition stems directly from that comb analogy.
Back to the comb. I'm intrigued. Okay, so how does this comb analogy lead to Caravaggio's condition?
All right, so imagine you're trying to measure the area of just one side of the comb.
Okay, yeah, one side. Got it.
And now think about like the natural complement to that one side. What would that be?
Well, it'd have to be the other side of the comb.
Exactly. But here's the thing. If we try to measure the area each side separately and add them up, we might actually end up with a value that's bigger than the total area of the whole comb, right? Because those fine teeth could cause us to to double count some of the area.
Right. Yeah. It's like those teeth are creating little overlaps, messing up the total measurement.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the issue that Cara Theodori's condition aims to solve. It basically states that for a set to be considered measurable, its area, when added to the area of its complement, all within a bounding box, has to equal the area of that bounding box.
So it's a way to make sure our measurements are consistent, no matter how weird or intricate the shape of the set is.
Exactly. It's like saying, okay, if our measuring system can't even handle adding up the areas of a comb and its complement correctly, then we really need to go back and refine our definition of what it means to be measurable.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Cara Theodori's condition is, it's like setting the ground rules for accurate measurement.
Exactly. And this accuracy is fundamental for building a theory of integration that's solid, dependable.
Okay, so we've come a long way. We started with the limitations of Riemann integration, then to Lebesgue's focus on the range of a function. We saw how characteristic functions are like spotlights on sets and how the outer measure tries to measure their width. Then we hit a snag with that outer measure possibly overestimating areas like with our comb. And that's where Cara Theodori's condition comes in to make sure those measurements are consistent even with really complex sets.
You got it. It's a really cool progression of ideas, and it all comes from needing to solve practical problems with integration.
But let's be honest, it's still pretty abstract, right? How is Cara Theodori's condition actually used in practice? Like,
yeah,
checking it for every single set seems like a massive task.
Yeah, you raise a good point. Verifying it for every single set would be, well, it'd be impractical. Thankfully, this is where this idea of a salgebra comes in handy.
A sigma what now?
A salgebra. It's basically a collection of sets that play nicely with each other when we do operations like unions, intersections, complements. You can think of it like a toolbox filled with all the necessary tools for building and manipulating sets. And these sets, they're the fundamental components of Lebesgue integration.
So they're like well-organized families of sets that work well together.
Precisely. And the beauty of this is that if we can show that a few basic sets, like open and closed intervals, if we can show those satisfy Cara Theodori's condition, then we automatically know that any set that we can derive from those basic sets using those operations, they'll satisfy the condition too.
It's like a chain reaction of well-behaved sets.
Exactly. It's incredibly powerful. We only need to do the heavy lifting, the verifying, on a small set of these building block sets, and then we get this huge collection of measurable sets for free.
That's amazing. We've gone from potentially checking an infinite number of sets down to just a handful. That really simplifies things.
Absolutely. This whole concept of measurable sets and Cara Theodori's condition, it's the bedrock for rigorously defining the Lebesgue integral.
So how do we actually get to the Lebesgue integral from here? It feels like we've laid the groundwork but haven't actually started building yet.
Now that we have this understanding of measurable sets, we can define these things called measurable functions. And these are functions that we can build up from simpler functions using limits. And remember, those simple functions, they're just linear combinations of characteristic functions. Yeah. And those characteristic functions, they're defined on those measurable sets.
So it's like building a complex structure from simpler blocks, but all resting on the foundation of measurable sets.
You got it. That's a great way to put it. And the Lebesgue integral, it's defined as the limit of the integrals of these simple functions. And this lets us work with a much broader range of functions compared to Riemann integration, including that weird function we talked about earlier, the one that was 1 on rational numbers and 0 on the irrationals. Remember that one? Riemann integration couldn't handle that.
That function that was giving Riemann a headache.
Exactly. But Lebesgue integration, it handles it. It handles it effortlessly. But it's not just about handling more types of functions. It's also about having stronger, more powerful convergence theorems. Remember those tricky situations with swapping limits and integrals? Lebesgue integration makes those swaps much easier under less strict conditions.
So we're not just expanding the types of functions we can integrate, but we're also making it easier to work with limits of integrals. It's a win-win.
Absolutely. And these improved convergence theorems, they're super valuable in all sorts of fields like probability, statistics, even physics.
Wow. It's fascinating how something as abstract as Cara Theodori's condition can have such far-reaching consequences. It's like a hidden gem that unlocks a whole new level of math power.
He said it. And it all starts with that basic desire to find a more natural, more intuitive way of of handling integration.
So this has been really enlightening, but I'm curious, does using Lebesgue integration actually change the results we get for nice functions, the ones we could already integrate using Riemann integration? Like, would the integral of, I don't know, sin x be different using Lebesgue?
That's a great question. For functions that are Riemann integrable, the Lebesgue integral gives you the exact same answer. It's not about replacing Riemann integration, but sure. but extending its capability.
So Lebesgue integration isn't replacing Riemann. It's more like building on top of it to handle those more difficult functions, more difficult situations.
Precisely. It's like Riemann integration is a subset of Lebesgue integration. All the familiar formulas and techniques from calculus, they still apply.
Okay, good. Good to know.
But here's the mind-blowing part. McIntyre suggests that Lebesgue integration actually completes Riemann integration. And he says it's analogous to how real numbers complete rational numbers.
Okay, now that's a thought-provoking statement. I remember learning that rational numbers can't fully describe all the points on a number line. That's where real numbers come in, right?
Right.
But how does that relate to integration?
It's a beautiful analogy. Think about it this way. Rational numbers can get you arbitrarily close to any point on the number line, but there are still gaps, right? And those gaps are filled by the irrational numbers, creating a complete continuum.
So are you saying that Riemann integration has, like, gaps that Lebesgue integration fills in?
Exactly. There are functions that we can get arbitrarily close to using Riemann integrable functions, but those functions themselves, they might not be Riemann integrable. Lebesgue integration gives us a framework where those gaps are filled in, creating a much more complete and powerful theory of integration.
That's a really elegant way to think about it.
And this concept of mathematical completion, it's really profound, and it pops up in all sorts of areas of math and even in physics.
Sounds like we've got another deep dive on our hands.
Perhaps. But let's stick with Lebesgue integration for now. This idea of completeness, it lets us create these things called function spaces, like the famous L2 space. And these spaces are super important in fields like quantum mechanics and signal processing.
You mentioned L2 space. Could you elaborate on that a bit? What makes these function spaces so special, especially in the context of Lebesgue integration?
Okay, L2 space, function spaces, quantum mechanics. You're going to have to break this down for me.
All right, so think of L2 space as this club, right?
Mm.
But only functions whose squares are Lebesgue integrable, they get to be in the club.
So functions that might have been too wild for Riemann integration, they find a home in L2 thanks to Lebesgue. Exactly. And what makes L2 so special is it has this built-in tool. It's called an inner product. And this inner product, it's like a measuring stick. It lets us determine the angle or the similarity between two functions.
Oh, okay. I kind of remember inner products from linear algebra. We use them to calculate dot products, right?
That's right. But in L2 space, the inner product, it's defined using the Lebesgue integral. It's like we're using integration to figure out how much two functions overlap.
So Lebesgue integration it's giving us a way to do geometry, but with functions instead of shapes.
Yeah, it is. And because L2 is what we call a complete space, meaning every sequence that should converge actually does converge to a point in the space, it's what we call a Hilbert space.
Hilbert space. That sounds important.
It is. Hilbert spaces are like the VIP section of function spaces. They've got all these amazing properties that make them perfect for tackling problems in areas like quantum mechanics, signal processing, even machine learning.
So we started with this abstract concept of Lebesgue integration, and now we're talking about these cutting edge fields like quantum mechanics. It's amazing how it all connects.
It really shows the power of mathematical abstraction. Sometimes taking a step back to create a more general framework, it leads to these incredibly powerful tools that have applications everywhere.
Yeah, this deep dive has been incredible. It's really made me realize that even the most abstract mathematical concepts can have these profound and unexpected consequences in so many fields.
Absolutely. And that's what's so exciting about math and science. It's all about exploring connections and discovering how these seemingly, you know, disparate ideas can come together and enhance our understanding of the world around us.
So to wrap things up, what's the one key takeaway you hope our listener will remember from this deep dive into Lebesgue integration?
I think the biggest takeaway is this. Never be afraid to ask why. Why was this concept developed? What problem was it trying to solve? By understanding the motivations behind a mathematical idea, we get a much deeper appreciation for its elegance and power. And who knows, you might even be inspired to explore it further yourself and see where it leads you.
I love that. It's all about nurturing that curiosity and embracing the joy of discovery. And that's what the deep dive is all about.
Exactly. So keep asking those why questions, and you never know what amazing insights you might uncover.
And on that note, we'll leave you with one final thought to ponder. McIntyre suggests that Lebesgue integration completes Riemann integration, just like real numbers, complete rational numbers. Mm. So how does this idea of mathematical completion play out in other areas of math and science? Is there a bigger picture here? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Until next time, keep diving deep.